all you wonderful alcoholics. Thank you. Will you join me in this serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Tonight, our speaker is being recorded with his permission. CDs can be purchased from Darren. I'd like to introduce this evening's speaker, but no one gave me your name. Dan. Dan from Long Beach, welcome.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you.
Nobody gave me the name. Well, my name is Dan and I'm an alcoholic. I'm glad to be here, glad to be sober, and I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to thank Marcia for asking me to come down and do this. It's an honor and a privilege to participate in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Welcome to the new people that stood up and the ones that didn't. Welcome to ANA. This is it. Come here, didn't you ought to get all excited about that? You know, the rest of your life, you got to look at your floors like this. Wooden floors, vinyl floors, and that's good as it's going to get. Anyway, so, you know, I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that you're here. And, I know that I'm an alcoholic, and I earned my seat in the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to thank Marcia. That was very good. All the other people have commitments here. It was good. I get all excited about people that have commitments of Alcoholics Anonymous because it kind of makes it a group. And I specifically, I like the, is it Marilyn? Eileen. It was close. Eileen. Yeah. And that you have a big book here, and you have literature, and you made a great announcement. And, you know, that big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, saved more lives than all therapies combined in the whole world. That this is it. You know, those are the instructions for Alcoholics Anonymous. They're right there in 164 pages. And so I like to hear that. I've gone to other meetings before. You never know. Here are all kinds of things. You know, they don't even have some books. No AA books, nothing. Nothing. You know what I mean? That's not a meeting, for crying out loud. You got to have literature. You know, and if you don't have literature, what do you got? You know, there's like about 260 groups out there that's trying to be like Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, they like have parents without kids. I don't know. What are they talking about? Sex without a partner. But tell you what, that's a sick section right over here. I can spot it right here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's where the sick ones are. Welcome. Will you walk? Oh, Jesus. Oh, I like that. And to be an alcoholic, you had to drink. You know, and that's just the way it is. And so it's terrific to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know if this is my favorite thing to do, to ask to share. As a matter of fact, I've been here before, and I got to ask back. That's kind of nice. That's really a step up for me, you know? I had a lot of places I didn't want him again. There he is, you know? It's an honor and a privilege, and because I'm sober today, and I want to really, really want to welcome the people that are new. And so I talk tonight, I'm going to talk to the newcomers. You know, I'm not talking to people that have been here around a while. They know what they're doing. They're doing it. You know, and so I want to thank my wife, my lovely wife, Sheila. I didn't forget your name. Yeah, that's right. And, coming down with me in a carpool lane. We've been doing this for a while, and it's a leisurely drive from Long Beach. You know, we go to, that's 50 miles, 100 miles beyond any length to go anywhere. On a Friday night, you told me that a long time ago. That's what I'd be doing. I say, You got to be crazy, man. That's something better on TV, you know, or something. I got, you know, this. Why do you get in the car and do this? You know, I rather, like I say, I don't know if this is my favorite thing to do. I'm kind of like, you know, rather sit when my wife Sheila sitting there and criticize the speaker. I told my sponsor that one time. He said, "It's perfectly all right. At least you're not thinking about yourself, you know." Oh, okay. I got that. All right, so I got to drink to that. All right, very good. And so here I am. And probably the most important thing I can share with you is my last sobriety date. That's December 26, 1982. And that's a little over 29 years. And, oh, by the way, happy birthday to our birthday person. You still here? No. You are? Good. I know your sponsor. I was going to just call him, you know, and report. And I know Jim, too. And I was going to report to him, too, and we'll set you straight. No problem. But anyway, December 26, 82. Now, you know, most people would have, you know, started, you know, or all over again, maybe January 1st. I mean, how weak is that? December 26th is a sobriety date. I mean, come on. You know, I got here the way I was supposed to. You know, spiritually, financially, emotionally, I was bankrupt in every area of my life. You know, and that's why this is a gift to me, you know. Alcoholics Anonymous would be sober over 29 years. And that's why it is an honor, you know, and a privilege. So now what we do in Alcoholics Anonymous for the new ones, we talk about what it used to be like and what happened and what they're trying to be like today. And I love today because I got a clean shirt on, I got a clean shirt, jacket, tie, everything, you know what I mean? All dressed. I like that. You know, I'm looking good. Nothing like I looked like lower 29 years ago. Not even. So I give you a little bit of drunkalogue, a little bit of wifealogue, and then I go into, and then, you know, talk about, you know, what we do today. So, and so I'm German by birth, American citizen by choice, and alcoholic by consumption. And just it, you know. And now I tried to smoke pot a little bit. It was mentioned earlier a little bit. But alcohol did not for me exactly, smoking pot did not exactly, did that for me what alcohol did. You know, like I smoked a joint or whatever and did try that a couple of times. And, you know, I'm in the car and I'm driving over in the fast lane over the bumps and I'd be going like, you know, feel like, ooh, you know. Everything was so slow, you know what I mean? And see, I didn't like it. It made me, it's just too lame. You know, and alcohol did exactly what it's supposed to do for me. So, and I don't know about anything else. And I never put a needle in my arm, thank God. I know I don't take any medication. And I haven't had anything in my body, anything in the last over 29 years, nothing stronger than an aspirin, you know. But I just grew up in, you know, alcohol. Alcohol is, in the big book, describes it as a social lubricant. Isn't that a hell of a name, isn't it? It is a social lubricant, and that's what the big book says. And today, I believe it. I believe every word that it says in 164 pages. And what that social lubricant is what's happening right now, this minute, this second, all over the world. People somewhere sitting at the bar or at some place or a party, they socialize and they have two drinks or whatever. They want to socialize, to be cared for, loved for, to have friendships, to... It's a stimulant. That's what it is. And that's what alcohol is. And now, I grew up in Berlin, a big city. And, you know, then at 16 years of age, you know, you could, in school, you know, we just go down the block, you know, have a sausage and a beer, and, you know, go back to school. No big deal. But they wouldn't let you drive until you're 18. But you can drink. You can even go in a bar. You know, at 16, isn't that terrific? It's legal, you know. So I had a home that I lived in. I had a mom, of course, and I had a stepfather. You know, his hands start come flying up once in a while. I learned how to duck real early. And so did my mom, too, you know. So once in a while you get it, and sometimes you didn't, you know. So then I'd be bawling this little kid, and then, you know, off I go. But see, I didn't know how to deal with situations that are confronted with me, you know, when the heat's on. When the heat is on, the only thing I knew, I'm out of here. I'm gone, you know, and I take a different direction. I go, don't go to school for a week, and then, they'll find out, you know. And then I run to my grandmother and stay there for a week, you know. But I always have to come back, you know. I have to always have to come back, you know, where I came from. And so I go in the bar at 16 and, evening, and I can sit there and, you know, I have a beer or two or three, and that social lubricant kicks in. And I look at the other end of the bar, and then I start going over there and start talking to the girls. See, alcohol did for me exactly what it's supposed to do. Alcohol does that. Did that for me, exactly. Now I have another beer, maybe a Jägermeister, you know what I mean? And then we got a few Jägermeister drinkers in here, or too many Jägermeisters. And, I can ask them how to dance. Now I can talk, you know, to girls. Now I can dance, and now I'm the life of the party. Now, isn't that amazing? Dr. Jackal and Mr. Horny. I mean, Mr. Hyde. I'm sorry. Mr. Hyde. And that's right. Alcohol did that exactly. That's what it does. Now, I didn't do that all the time. Now, that doesn't make me an alcoholic. That makes me a social drinker. That is a social drinker. You know, maybe they throw up on their shoes and, you know, polish off and go home. You know what I mean? No big deal. But so that's what alcohol did for me, and I got to, you know, make me feel good. That's what it did. And at 18, we immigrated legally to this country. We come to Anaheim, Germantown, of course, and we go to the Phoenix Club. You know, we do play soccer, and when you play soccer, you exercise hard. And, you know, we also do Oktoberfest in May. You know, we do, no problem. Drink a lot, drink beer, you know, drink the German beer, Jägermeister. Now, once you start drinking Jägermeister, you start making bad decisions. You know, you got to be real careful. Anybody that's, you know, got to go out and try it again. And, I go to this German club, and I meet this friend that this guy had his wife coming from Germany over here, and his sister is coming from Germany, and another gal. Anyway, so, I had a Chevy by then, so he had a Volkswagen. So I told him, okay, I'll pick up the girls from the airport. I'm always willing to be of service, you know. And there she is, you know, walked a little gal walking down, and I knew it, that's the one. There she is. 90 days later, we're setting up little lighthouse keeping. You know, and this gal had she did the things just like my mother would do. You know, roll up my socks, polish my shoes, and do all this stuff for me. You know, and what do you do with a gal like that, right, guys? What the heck, you know? And women always want that C word, the commitment. I don't like commitment, but yeah, this is gonna work good. You know, I knew it. So we went up, got into the car, and we went to Vegas. We got married, obviously, and went to honeymoon to Death Valley. Now, you know, now you laugh. You think that's funny. You know, we're Germans. You know, we need come white skin. We have the cameras. You can spot them a mile away. You're looking at them, you know, with slippers and white socks on, and you spot them a mile away. And we knew, we read up, they have castles, Scotty's castle in Death Valley. See, we know that before we got here, we know that, and we love castles. And I didn't know in May it's going to be hotter than hell. People, and we were looking for other people. There weren't any. now it's really funny. You know, it really is, but. We had a good time. You know, when you're in love, you know you're in love. It don't matter. You know, if you're in a desert, just the two of you, it's just great, you know. Well, we didn't walk around naked at least, you know. So, anyway, but, And, you know, so we bought a first little house in Fullerton, and we were in the middle of the block, and this is the kind of gal, like I said, she's a busy bee. And, in the middle of the, you know, when it's summer, it's 85, you know, 90, you know, she's out there in front lawn pushing the lawnmower, you know, back and forth, you know. Then she's out in the backyard pushing a lawnmower, no power mower, doing that. And I'm in, open up the garage door having my Beck's beer. In my neighborhood, we're in the middle of the block and all the other garage doors starting to fly open, you know, and about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, she's on top of the roof replacing shingles, man. You know, it's 105 now in Fullerton, right? Here they come, those shingles. Just throw them up there and there they are, honey, you know, and she's up there fixing it. About 2:33 in the afternoon, it's 110 inside the house, man. It's in the summertime and she's under the sink replacing the garbage disposal. You know what I'm saying? You know that? I'm doing all right in this country. I'm really doing good. And now the thing is that, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, all that neighborhood and that street, these guys were looking at me and they knew that this German household, this German guy knows how to run a household. You know what I mean? She's doing the work, and I'm in the shade drinking beer. I was admired in my neighborhood, let me tell you. You know, so now as we're moving right along, I did work, and I had a job, and, you know, these guys at work must after work to go, you know, have to have a couple of beers, you know, and play pool. I learned how to play pool like that. And these guys are real wimps I work with. They called their wives. Can you believe it? Told them that they're going to be late from the pool game. Not me. No, I don't need to do that. You know, when I'm ready, I expect dinner then when I get home. That's all. You know, by 11:30, I got home, you know, and she, you know, here I am. And she said, well, where the hell you been? Why didn't you call me? I had dinner ready for you. And, you know, women, you know, always ask stupid questions. Where you been? Why didn't you call me? Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Now, I don't like that. Now the fight starts. Now, I like to fight. You see? Now I know exactly when I have to fight. And I can go back exactly where I want to go. I can go back in the bar with the guys and then come home. And then, well, gee, sometimes I didn't come home. That's what happened. And, one day I was pulling in my, you know, in my driveway late at night, and I, the bubblegum machine goes on behind me, the black and white car, Fullerton Police Department. Guy asked me to step out of the car, asking how many drinks I had. The usual answer, 2 drinks, you know, and asked me to do the white line, so walk the white line. That's the stupidest thing to do. Ask somebody to do that in the middle of the night, you know, walk on the white line. Obviously, they said, well, we're going to have to check your blood level, and we got to take you in. I said, the officer said, you know what, get off of my lot, off of my property here. You know, I'm in America, it's my house, this is our house. And, that he kindly removed himself from it. Well, he had me by the neck, and boom, I'm back of that seat. I couldn't believe it. That's long before police brutality. I may tell you, I know all about it. Next thing, I go to Fullerton Police Department. I'm there, and I didn't walk home the next morning. They kept me for the night, but, you know, I'm a slick guy. I got it all figured out. I know what's going on. You got enough money, you get, everybody knows that you, when you got money, you go and, you get your, an attorney to get you out of this deal. And as a matter of fact, I was so fed up with what's going on at home. You know, Karen was born by now. A daughter with Karen was born. And I went to this attorney and I told him about the woman I live with and all this crap, what's going on. And, you know, this is a heat's on. And now I got a drunk driving ticket because of her. And, and the guy gave me a package deal. You know, it was very nice to me. You know, now I got rid of the wife, the kid, the house, all of them. So now I can do and what I want to do what I want to do. That's all I know. I'll know how to do. And that's off I went. And my little, me and the mattress, off into the someplace and close to Anaheim, close to Phoenix Club again, so I can go back there and, You know, I met a little gal, a Dutch gal that speaks German, and you know, she just got through a divorce, and so she's going to help me out a little, so I let her, you know, so what the hell. And it went, and, you know, here we go again. You know, before you knew it, we'd do a little lighthouse keeping, you know, and then we moved on to Huntington Beach, and women always have that same thing. Commitment, that big C word. I don't get it. Okay, get in the car. We're going to Vegas. And, you know, we're doing that deal. Now the thing, strangest thing started to happen is that, she literally drank me under the table. That's what she did. I mean, that's it. Now, that's very depressing for the German ego. It really is. You know what I mean? I have a woman drink you under the table. And, you know, like, the strangest thing happened at 12:30. You know, I had to go run off into the liquor store to get more booze, you know, get more Heinekens and, you know, a couple of little things. And it's not that the money came in all of a sudden. It's that because we had these deep, meaningful conversation at 3 in the morning. Oh, somebody's laughing. You understand that, huh? And then, you know, when you're at 3, 4 in the morning and you don't have any booze in the house, you know, you're really in deep pucky. You know, you really are. But what happened is that when you do that, you can really, really, really make up. And I thought it was love. I thought it was love. Well, no, hell no. I know it's hell. Now I know it's hard work. You know? That's exactly how it went, and it come to the end where, you know, around Christmas time, you know, she had a bottle of wine in her hand and a glass and a pusher against it and a tree, and the tree went, the bottle went, and everything went, and now I have become that I hated the most. I never wanted to touch a woman because I seen that. I grew up with it. And I hated it. I did, you know. And now I'm doing it. And I didn't know it. And I didn't know. And today I know you can't love and hate at the same time. Today I know what love is. And today I know what hate is. You see, I know that today. And at that point, if somebody told me, "What, you know what, something wrong with you? You just don't, you know," I would have said, "You just don't understand. If you would live with somebody like that, you would react like I do too. But you don't understand, so therefore, you know, get out of my way. You see, I didn't know. And I went back to the same attorney. Gave me a package deal. You know, she had to go. You know, you can't love and hate the same. Eventually, I have to go. So I want to share my last drunk driving ticket with you before I get sober. And it's always important for me. I think it's good because I can have all that fun back. You know, it's all out there waiting for me. Let me tell you, after 29 years, I'm not bulletproof. Nobody is. I've seen people sit with 30 years, go out and pick up a drink again. And died. I've seen that. I know people. I know that. And so that's why this is a gift. And I got to treat it like a gift. That's what I'm doing, So what happened is, I don't know what time of year it was. It doesn't matter. I was on a Friday night. I was over by the airport or in. I was out slipping, sliding on the, you know, what I like to do best. Looking for her on a Friday night, just like tonight. And I got overserved that night. You know the number? Jesus! You know, of all things, you know, I got overserved. And I was so good. I was looking for her, but I couldn't find her. You know what I mean? And that's what happened. And so I got back in the car. Bum deal. You know, and out I go And I'm on the, I was ready to go on the freeway, the 55 freeway, going north off to go home. And what happened is that I got in the car and before you hit the 405, there's a light that goes on, you know, the street light. It had a red, a yellow, and I think somebody threw a purple in or something. It just, and I plowed into a car right in front of me. And yeah, right, boo, is right. And it just, boom. And all I remember is that there was a fire department, police department, highway patrol, ambulance, and they opened the door and I fell out the door. Now, most social drinkers don't do that. When they're out there on a Friday night trying to do their best, you know, they don't do that. Next thing, I'm in this highway patrol car, and I never want to forget that. Now, I'm in the summertime, I'm handcuffed in the highway patrol car where they had the nice vinyl seats in the back, and the two highway patrolmen in front, and I'm in the back in a sticky seat going up 55 freeway to Hotel California, you know, the Orange County Jail, and there I go. Here we go again, you know. And I was bawling just like that little kid, like I talked to you about, shared with you a little while ago. When I was little, you know. And they were looking at me and they wondered, what's with this guy? If somebody would have said, man, you're totally wasted, you know. I would have said, oh, no, you don't understand. You don't get it. You just don't understand, you see. And so I got booked in right Hotel California and in jail and... you know, they have the sheriffs there waiting for you. They, you know, take your picture, and the famous picture. And, you know, I've been drinking all night, and I told him, I have to relieve myself. And he says, no, you got to wait till we take your picture, and then you can go. And he goes, blah, blah. And I looked over to the right, and he had a water fountain there. While he was talking, I walked over and peed right in his water fountain. He was very upset about that. I should go and make amends to him. I would have forgot, you know. So, but then what happened is I stayed there for three nights and Hotel California, the jail, don't like it. Not one bit. And so I, you know, went back to the attorney, you know, that I knew. The guy gave me a package deal. He said, well, two things we can do for you. We can do, you either go to jail or you go to A&A. Oh, I see. Well, I'm sick, but not stupid. I could do, you know, I could do A&A. You know, I had no clue. And and that's exactly what I did. And it was a program called Lucky Deuce a long time ago. It was kind of like SB 38 after that. So attorney started it. And guy made a lot of money off of it. And when I ended up with that program, it's like... you know, running a stoplight or something like that, you know, so it was wonderful. Anyway, so, and now what happened is, you know, I get my court card, my get well card, and I always thought that's a donation to my meeting, throw my court card in. I didn't know that. And I go to Newport Beach at a meeting, and, you know, it was a noon meeting. I showed up at 12:30, about 20 minutes later. I didn't want to rush into this thing, you know what I mean? So, so I got there and I stayed to the end. All I heard, you know, wah wah, wah wah, wah wah, wah wah. That's all I heard. Didn't hear a thing. Didn't hear a thing. And I did that for 3.5 years. I don't wish that on anybody. If you're an alcoholic of my type, like the book describes it, if you do that, you're wasting your time. I didn't realize I've taken somebody's chair for 3.5 years. They shouldn't be sitting there. Because, you see, the way I am is that, you know, I read your stupid book, the old stuff, and, you know, 60 years old crap, read a long time by old people, you know. But, you know, what could there be? What could there be? But I sit through it and I, you know, do this and that. And what happened for the next 3.5 years, I come to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and ask people something to do, and I said, don't ask me to do anything, because, you know, I just come around here to eat your cookies, eat your cake, drink your coffee, and don't ask me to pick up the chairs or mop the floor. By the way, mopping the floor, there's magic, you know, in the mop. For the new people, let me tell, that's what I tell newcomers. It's magic in the mop. Anyway, and don't ask me to do that. You know, when I'm ready... you know, I'm really ready to do this thing. I'll come back and then I'll, you know, I help you people out. I give you a little money. I can tell, you know, I see the cars with their whiskey dents on them, you know, and the parking lot. It's, you know, no. But when I got all the money, I come and really help you out. Now, I did that for 3.5 years. Then I had 9 months all of a sudden. I figured, well, hell, I got it made. You know, I got this thing going. And I went back to Germany. It's time to go to Oktoberfest. So I left in September, make sure I got there on time. Before I hit Amsterdam, I was already throwing up and puking. Okay? It was just like that. Fierce. It came up, you know, fierce, let me tell you. And that's what happened. Now, this is what makes me a real alcoholic. Now, this is in September. I started drinking again, but I was not able to stop until December 26, 82. Now I'm having the delirium, having the shakes. And if you've never seen anybody, haven't seen the seizure, like at Charlie Street go sometime, a recovery, I'll see how some guy happens having a seizure. That'll change you, make you change your mind, I guarantee you. And now that's where I was. See, I lost the ability to control and enjoy my drinking. If I could enjoy my drinking and had the ability, I would not come here. I would not do anything. There's no reason for me to be here, you see. And but what happened on a Friday night, it was my lucky night, Friday night. After December 26th, two weeks after that, I went to a Friday night meeting, and I had a jacket on, and I was half-decent dressed, and there was a speaker. I went to Fullerton St. Jude speaker meeting, and there was a guy there, I think it was a cowboy. That's what he was. He had a beard and all that, but he looked clean, dressed up, looked sharp, had 3, 4, 5 guys with him. They were laughing it up, and then had his wife in with him. That had, they were Al-Anon, 4 or 5 of them, redhead, brunette, blackhead. And he said, if you want what we have, that's that kind of guy, man, I'm going to hook up to that guy. But what I heard, there was a laughter and the enthusiasm that came from the speaker that night. And enthusiasm, I know today, is God within. We're enthusiastic about this way of life. The Alcoholics Anonymous is designed for people who seek a whole new way of living. I don't want my old life back. I didn't know that. I just didn't know that. I have to change everything. And he said from the podium, and it sticks with me still today, he said, there are two things you have to know about a God, that there is one and you ain't him. That's what he said. And I, you know, it just, you know, right after him, I don't know, you know, I don't know what happened, but I know you won't hear until you hear, and you can't see until you see. And when the right person comes along, then you become ready. Then you will become ready to do whatever asks of you. It's what's in the book. And I asked the guy to be my sponsor that night, and he said, take a look at me. He said, you look like you're going to fall apart any minute. I said, no kidding, you know. And here's what happened to me. He's an alcoholic. And he said, why don't you come over to my house tomorrow at 4 o'clock? And I'm going to do 10th step with you, the 10th step. And I said, okay. And I went to his house. And the 10th step is just like a 4th step. But, you know, where you can be as specific as you want to be about a person, place, or thing. In the first column, it's just like in a 4-step, a big book, like the Mr. and Mrs. Brown. He said, well, okay, well, who's that person that what bugs you the most? What's your ready make you go out and drink? What is it? I told him about her, you know, her, that woman, that, you know, that was in the first column. Then the person, place or thing, and then the cause. You don't spend too much time on the cause. And then the effect. And everything in the column of effect, everything is self. Everything is about self, self. And then he threw me, and he said, we got a 4th column here. And that's, what is your part? Now, that is the first time ever in my life that some non-alcoholic helped me to see my part. And I talked about, you know, what I've done, what has happened. He shared with his, what he's done. And in that 4th column, I couldn't even write. He wrote it. You know, where was I selfish and dishonest? and, you know, in my relationship, you know. Where did I manipulate the situation? It's in the book. And we talked about it, and then he shared his stuff, and he wrote it. And it's the first time I could see it, like, was like a mirror. That's who I am. You know, I'm a manipulator, I'm a liar, I'm all of those things. If you saw that, you know, and that's what that is. And for, you know, something popped that day for me. And he said, that's all we're going to do today. And then we read something, and then he said, well, he gave me a hug, and, you know, and he gave me a kiss, and he said, I love you, man. I thought, oh, my God, now we got to follow him, forget about her, you know, one of those deals. But it wasn't at all, you know. And I left that house about that. Well, it was a spiritual experience for me. And, I stuck with that sponsor for 11 years. And, because I was willing to do, on our first step, and on our 12 and 12, and the first step, in the last column, is a powerful, powerful sentence. We come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are willing to do anything as a dying could be. It says that in that last column. I don't phrase it correctly, but that's the meat of it. Only as a dying could be, we are willing to do anything and follow the instruction that are, you know, set out for us to do. And I did that for 11 years, a man stag, and I had about 3 years, 2 years, let's see, I was four or five, yeah, four years, my daughter was graduating from high school, and, you know, I told my sponsor, you know, he knew all about it, and he says, why don't you bring your daughter around Alcoholics Anonymous and take her to conventions, show her what the people do in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. I had very little contact with that daughter of mine, but enough to have some contact, and eventually I did bring in Alcoholics Anonymous and showed her around, like my sponsor suggested, how we care for each other, love for each other, you know, at the conventions and what have you. And because of that, I got my daughter back. And, you know, I promised her to take her to Hawaii, you know, and she graduates from high school. But, you know, I was always too busy. And because my sponsor, he was kind of sitting on me about that, you know, I did exactly that, you know, and brought her around here. We went to Hawaii, went every day, we went to a meeting. It's great. I got to know my daughter. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. I didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous for that. If I would have picked up any time in between, everything would have been washed off, you know what I mean? Would have been all history. Everything would have been down the drain. But because I didn't, I followed the direction. A good example in front of me. And my life has changed. When I had 6-7 years, I was a big speaker, chairman at the Newport Beach Hoke Hospital speaker meeting, the big, big meeting, 250 people every Saturday night. That thing was, we talked about what it used to be like, what happened, and what we're wearing tonight. You know what I mean? I said, sponsor of mine, you know, he said, I see how you date around here. You know, sometimes AA looks like a bar, you know. But, you know, the only thing that's missing is booze. And he says, we don't do it like that. And I says, what do you mean? I said, he says, when you find a lady around, then we'll show you. Bring her over and, you know, introduce her to me, and then we'll give you some instruction what to do. And I said, really? So since I was the big secretary over there, and I'm sitting on one side every Saturday, and this good-looking lady with a big blue eye and black hair, and just we're locking eyeballs, and I said, well, I went back to my sponsor. I said, I found her. And he said, well, bring her over here. And we'll practice on her. And, he said, well, what are we going to do now? He says, well, we're going to do the 4M dating. I said, what's that? Well, first is just you go to meeting, that's all, for 30 days. He says, and then you're going to do the 2M dating. I said, what the heck is that? When you go to meeting and you have a meal after that. or McDonald's for you to say. Meeting and a McDonald's. Okay. All right. Very, that's exciting stuff. Okay. And, you said, well, you know, we do that because, you know, if you make a friend with a woman, then you do that for a while, everything else is going to be okay. I didn't know that. I mean, it's 30, 60 days and, but, okay. And he said, well, then after that, we could do a 3M dating. So after 60 days with 3M dating, what's that? So it's a meeting, meal, and a movie. Oh, now we're really moving right along. You know, I mean, I was, oh, wow, you know. This is really great. And, that's what we did. And then, you know, I could even give her a kiss on the cheek, you know. She let me. I told him that. I said, good, you're right on schedule. and then after a while, the fourth month, she said, now you can do the 4M dating. I said, what the heck's that? It's a meeting, meal, movie, and a motel. It's about time, you know what I mean? You know, so... Anyway, it's all that, and she's my very best friend, and have a great life because of Alcoholics Anonymous, and then of course if you ask Sheila, she'll tell you that's a 5M: meeting, meal, movie, motel, and marriage. Oh Jesus! And we had a big AA wedding, and all that was great. It was really cool, and she was here chatting about it 2 weeks ago, and it's great. And what she does is none of my business. What anybody else is none of my business. My job today is to help another alcoholic. That's our only purpose. I don't come here for a job, for anything. None of that. Or no outside issue, let me tell you. And therefore I'm very lucky. One more little thing is that I've got two grandkids. We've taken them on cruises several times, and Jacob and Jessica, they're the greatest kids. They're now 14 and 17. But 3 years ago, 7 years ago, my daughter's husband, anesthesiologist, died suddenly, found him dead in front of the computer, left to be a widow with the two children, you know, so it's tough. She lived in a small town out in Colorado, and she met a guy, a single guy, never had been married and what have you, contractor, and he came to his memorial and all this and that. And anyway, she ended up marrying this guy about three years ago or so. I went to the visit a couple of years ago. I'm in Colorado, and Eric, you know, there on the couch. You know, I pay for my way to get there. I got to rent a car from Denver, 2.5 hours. It could cost all this money. Then I got, you know, to drive down there. You stay there for 4 or 5 days. It's very inconvenient in a way, you know, because they're far away, and I got to do everything. And I got to the house, and they're climbing all over their stepfather now. You know, they're sitting, you know, I'm sitting on the couch, and they're climbing, and they're laughing, and they're yakking it up, and they're hugging, and all this. And I'm sitting, Grandpa over here, over the other side, the sofa, and they're ignoring me. You see, that's how I am. That's how I am. And I said, now, wait a minute. You know, I paid for all this over here to get over here, bring all this good stuff. I got to drive, get the car, drive 2.5 hours, then I got to drive back, and I got a thing, you know, and I had this moment of, you know, just, and I thought maybe I'll call my sponsor. What's wrong with me? You know, I get this. These kids are all over this guy and all this, and I'm sitting here, and I had this emotion over me, you know, and then I just stopped. And I silence, and I, you know, and I just let it breathe in and out for 10 minutes, and I realized how selfish I am and self-centered. Here I am. They have a stepfather, and they have a father now, just like a father, and they love, and he loves the kids, and they love him. What a gift! And it just pointed out to my own self. I didn't have to talk to anybody. Within me, I could knew what God wanted me to do, just to shut the heck up, you know what I mean? And see and watch what goes on. The love goes on. And so I think my time is coming up here, another minute or so, and I just want to thank you again for having me, listening to me, and you know, it's been an honor and a privilege. And for the new people, you know, I can say only one thing. It says in the book that you know, this is a really a simple, very simple program, and as some people, it says in the book, cannot. This is a secret of Alcoholics Anonymous. Some people cannot and will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Some people cannot and will not completely give themselves the simple program. And since I've done that, my life changed. This is the best life I ever had. Thanks for you being here. And that's the most spiritual thing an alcoholic can do, to say where he's going to be and do what he said he was going to do. That's spiritual for people like us. God bless.